In a world where our democracy is threatened. This is the news, according to me. Yeah, good morning. It is Tuesday morning. Still brightening. Still the beginning of the week, I guess. We're getting into the week now. Yesterday, I touched on a few things that I didn't really dive deep on much. I was distracted by a few things. One was my cup. What was in it? That took a little while. A fine, happy morning to you this morning. It's 7:44 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday, September 13th, 2022. And this is the way it is. That was the, that's kind of a play on the old, was it? Walter Cronkite used to say, that's the way it was. And that's the way it was. He would say the date at the end of the show, I think, or whatever. So I'm going to start off with the beginning of the show. This is the way it is. I'm telling you how it is. Walter told you how it was. I'm going to tell you how it is. We have a, there's this thing that's rather, you know, amazing, actually. It's the thing called my cup. It's my Rapala cup again. If you want to know more about my Rapala cup, you have to go back to tomorrow's, tomorrow, go back to 2 days ago's show. You go back to yesterday's show, Monday's show. And you'll find out more about my cup, but I have the same thing in my cup that I had yesterday. I have Pacific Island vanilla chai with sweet vanilla creamer in it because I'm all about the cream, apparently. I don't know, vanilla, all that stuff. I have no backup cup this morning, which will be interesting. My cat is in rare form this morning. He is running all over. Yesterday, I didn't see him at all yesterday morning until I came down to the little home studio here. That's where I'm at today. I was planning on being at my the world headquarters studio for this show this morning. However, I have a day trip I have to take. I do have to some driving to go. I have to go to Chicago real quick today and then come back. But because of that, I didn't really have time to get over there and get that done. I was just going to eat up too much of my morning. But I'll be able to get the show done here. Yesterday's show was pretty long. it was very long, actually. It was over, well over an hour. Usually my show, I try to keep my shows down under an hour just because it seems like it gets out there a little bit better. The people who listen to my show, in fact, 30-minute shows typically get a lot more listens than, I don't know why. I don't know if it's part of the algorithm or what it is. I'm not sure what that's all about, but I have noticed that, so I'm not sure what that's all about. Maybe people just, you know, they like listening to me for a little bit of time. Maybe if I put out a 1 minute show, I'd get, you know, a million hits. I don't know. I don't know how that works. And right now I hear the cat and the dogs frolicking around upstairs. I believe that they may be getting the best of the cat. I'm not sure what's going on. I just like to bark. So anyway, let's see what's going on up there. The interesting thing that's been going on, and yesterday I touched on this, but I didn't really get too far with it. I might have to go up there and see what's going on. This is kind of ridiculous. School delays today. Due to fog. There is some fog. It is a little bit foggy out there this morning here in my part of my neck of the nap. And I'll have to see what's going on with that. Yesterday, we were talking about threats to democracy. You're going to hear this more and more as it's coming up. And, of course, the rhetoric continues to get more and more, I'll say, ridiculous with everything that's going on. Now, what is concerning about this, and I know that there is actually some discussion on some shows that's going on. I'm not sure exactly. Let's start with this. There was a report recently. I was talking about, I'll just back up to some of this stuff that was going on. There was this report yesterday. I think it was on CBN News, actually. And, of course, this was an NBC News poll that CBN was propagating. And here's the weird part about this. This poll said that 21% of people polled said that threats to democracy were their biggest issue. 16% cost of living. 14% jobs and the economy. That's their number one issues. 21% threats to democracy. Now, they didn't specify what they thought those threats were. And they didn't say anything in this poll about who they polled, what the cross-section of America was. These kinds of polls are put out there. They're actually very dangerous because this gives you this impression that somehow look at all these Americans are, it's more important than the cost of living or the jobs and the economy. They're more concerned about the threats to democracy. This is a setup, folks. They are vilifying. This is the vilification of anyone who opposes them. This is classic. Classic. Fascism. And if you haven't read Rules for Radicals, or at least had a skim view, I've never really read it like in-depthly. I have skimmed through most of it and had a couple of different commentaries that I've listened to on, actually several commentaries on the book, both from people on the left and the right. People who've defended the book and people who've pointed out the scary parts of the book. It's very clear that collectivists must follow a certain path to get their way. In general, most people will not be swayed on their own. It's the people at the top who want power who will use what's called useful idiots. Those are the people down they're the fodder, if you will, that they use to get their way, to keep them at the top. They cling to power with a death grip. And anything that threatens their power justifies, it's so important that they stay in power that if they're not in power, they feel like the country is lost. If I lose, the country loses. I must remain in power, for I'm here to protect. I'm the one, the righteous one at the top. And all you minions out there, you must do everything you can to defend me. The democracy, I mean. Not me, the democracy. Yeah, democracy. Our form of government needs to be protected. But they're the ones at the top of that government. They don't believe in a government for of it and by the people. They believe they are the people. They don't see us as the people. They don't see the masses out there. They're not the people. They are the people, the ones up on the hill up there in their edifice, in their temple of democracy. Here's what's happening, folks. And it's been said from the beginning, this whole January 6th thing started. Here's what I believe we're headed for at some point. They continue to vilify January 6th protesters, well, anybody on the right, basically, anybody that's a Republican, really, they want to vilify all of you, except for Liz Cheney. They'll get around to her eventually. She thinks she's protected by this whole thing because she doesn't believe the lie. And I heard somebody joke the other day about, they said something, a joke. They said, well, if you believe it, it's not a lie. Well, that's, they were talking about something else, totally, completely talking about something else. They weren't talking about the election at all. But you know what? That is absolutely true. You're not lying if you believe something's true. Someone can't call you a liar because of something you believe in. If you totally believe that something is, you know, I believe that water is wet, if you can somehow tell me that it's not, it's then you know, you may believe it's not wet. Water's not wet. You totally believe it. You're not lying. It's just a disagreement. Or you're just stupid. So that we have this issue, and I was listening to several different reports now of people who've been getting raided. Their homes have been getting raided. One lady who was raided, I think her last name's Gallagher, she was at home. She was actually sick in bed. The FBI shows up. Three FBI agents show up at her. They have time for this. They show up at her house. Her daughter answers the door and goes up and says, there are three FBI agents, armed FBI agents, at the door. She thought she was kidding. She was terrified. She went outside, talked to them. They said, we have an anonymous tip that you were at the Capitol on January 6th. Well, first of all, since when is that a crime that warrants investigation? Being at the Capitol? Being in the Capitol, maybe, that day. Folks, there are people that were there who didn't go in the building who were committing crimes, who have been completely exonerated. People who were instigating other people to go in. People who were there directing people to go in. And they're completely protected. In fact, they were on the most wanted list initially. And all of a sudden, they were removed and nothing else said about them. And they can't comment on them when asked by congressmen. When the FBI director is asked about certain individuals, they can't comment. And those people are being interviewed by legacy media, saying, oh, well, we have to hide out here in the woods because we feel so threatened by these terrible people. Well, you mean the people that you were a part of? Your homies that you were some kind of Trump supporter before this? Is there any evidence of you being some kind of radical Trump supporter? Did you have signs in your yard? Do you have a Trump sign on the side of your motorhome? Because you were so radical about it? Standing out there the night before saying, we need to go into the Capitol. And then telling people to go into the Capitol. Telling people what to do when you're whispering into their ears before they went across the line. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a Fed. Doesn't sound like somebody working, you know, some kind of plant. Operative. So now we have, and this is going to continue. In fact, I know some people here in my area, good friends of mine, who did the day before, I think it was on the 4th or 3rd, 3rd or 4th, I believe it was, we were at a funeral and happened to run into them there, and they said they were going to go to the Capitol on the 6th. If I could have gotten away, I would have done it. I would have gone. They went. Now I don't think that they got in. I don't think that anything like that happened. I've wanted to talk to them since all this went down. to see what it was, see what, to get their impression of what had actually happened. I've talked to some other people, but I haven't talked to them. Now, you think, well, there was hundreds of thousands of people there. They're not going to be able to get, they're not going to go after all those people. They're going to go after them. One way or another, they're going to go after them, whether it's through their bank accounts. This is very similar to what we saw up north in Canada. You want to talk about fascism? Well, fascism is far right. Okay, yeah, whatever. You know, I've got an old dictionary laying around here somewhere. It's about 20, 30 years old, something like that. Probably 30, 40 years old, actually. I should go look at the definition of it and see what it used to be, because I'm sure it's been changed. This Gallagher lady, her crime, she had to invite the FBI into her home to show her her phone. On her own accord, I guess, she showed them her phone, and she showed them her calendar, and showed them where she was that day. The reason they were going after her, I believe she was part of the, she might have been the person who actually signed the document, or she was one of the people who was on the committee to actually apply for and get a legal permit to protest on January 6th. All she did was apply for the paperwork to legally do that. You know, just like BLM always did. You know, they always had a permit to do what they were doing. So did Antifa. Oh, well, Antifa's not a group. They're just an ideology. Well, how convenient for you. So you don't have to go after them as a group when they all show up with the same clothes and the same backpacks and the same stuff on their, and they're highly organized. Oh, but it's just an idea. They just happen to all have that same idea at the same time. Yeah, they're not an organized group, it's just an ideology. Jesse Waters made a very good comment. I think it was last night on his show. He's talking about this declaration of war. I think that was the title of his little YouTube clip. This is a declaration of war, is what he said. Kamala Harris came out and said, and when she was asked about, you know, 9/11 and I think she was in an interview with Chuck Todd, and she said, he was asking, well, you know, as you look back on this was a setup. First of all, you can tell that when they start asking questions that she has the answers for, you know that she already knew the question that was coming. She's almost too eager to say it, because it comes across like, oh, I already knew the answer to this before you ask the question. That's because she knew the question. There's no pause to think about articulating an answer. It just comes right out. And it's when they do that, you know that they already knew. It was a foregone script. They do this all the time on the left. And they do it on the right too. They rehearse what they're going to talk about. They'll say, okay, they're going to ask questions about this, going to ask you a question about that. This is where it's going to go. We're going to take the interview in this direction. So kind of be prepared for these questions. They do that all the time. Now, they will not do that. The left will not do that for anybody on the right. Or they'll go places they had said they wouldn't go, or they just out of the blue, they'll ask them questions. And then they'll highly edit their. I hear my dogs barking again, which means, of course, that just means the cat's going nuts up there. So we have the issue. Oh, there's actually something flying around in the room. It looks like possibly a bug of some kind. I don't know. Figure out what that's all about. I have a security camera, so I pulled up a security camera and just as I was watching what was going on up there. The interview went to this point where she was asked about 9/11 and the threats to our country and our nation. How have they changed? Well, she went right into this whole thing of, you know, they've We all swear an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution from enemies, both foreign and domestic. Oh. So they've been very blatant about this, especially some radicals on the left have been saying the MAGA crowd is more dangerous than any Antifa, or I'm sorry, any Al-Qaeda ever was. More dangerous than ISIS. These are enemies within. That's pretty serious. I've heard, and this is really scary, folks. If you've ever watched a Tom Clancy movie called Clear and Present Danger, there's a point in the movie where the president says, these people are a clear and present danger. He was talking about something that was going on down in, I think it was Central America, wherever it was that they were, you know, these people are a clear and present danger, which gave them the right to take military into wherever it was and try to get rid of these, some kind of, I think there were some kind of rebels of some sort down in some country. This presents a clear and present danger to our country. And when he said that in the movie, of course, that was when it makes it clear that that's what the movie was about. That term gives the president the ability to enact the military without congressional approval. Clear and present danger means I don't have time to go through Congress. We must act now. That is a term that when you hear a president say that, that's a serious statement. There is an authority behind that statement. Joe Biden made that statement about MAGA people. They are a clear and present danger to our democracy. They're declaring war, folks. They are. Now, in my opinion, they're going to do everything they can under the color of law, under the color of the FBI and the IRS and everybody else that they're militarizing, that they're weaponizing, to go against the American people. To antagonize us to the point, to push us against the wall to the point where we have no other option. They're waiting for that trigger point, that group out there that's radicalized enough. And if they can't find one, if nobody responds, they'll make one. They'll come up with a group. Look at what happened out west with this weird group that shows up in a truck. They never did anything. But they, on a tip from the FBI, the FBI shows up and busts them. That gets them out of the truck and arrests all of them. What crime did they commit? They had conspiracy to incite a riot. Conspiracy to incite a riot. How about the people who actually did the rioting in 2020? Didn't get any of those people, did you? That was all allowed. Well, you know, it's democracy, and that's the way they can, you know, they shouldn't let up, and they shouldn't let up, according to our vice president. They're not going to stop. She was encouraging them. Folks, this is getting serious out here. And I'm telling you, they are trying to antagonize people. They're poking us with a stick, trying to get a reaction, because once they do, they will, that will give them the right to clamp down. And they know that the American people, the majority of the American people, this is the weird thing I've noticed about people in the United States, in most of the United States. When violence happens, or when it's anticipated, or when a criminal action is inferred, the reaction that people have, it's very strange. I was in a discussion one time. It was online. It was with several other people making comments about a YouTube video. And they were talking about Gretchen Whitmer and the wonderful Wizard of Oz up north here, who seems to have, it was all during the COVID thing, and how she was out running around, her husband was out running around, you know, didn't care about the lockdowns. They were having their parties. But she was, you know, clamping down any businesses who were trying to remain open. She's arresting people, making, you know, examples of people. Especially those on the right. If they were Trump supporters, they were terrible. You know, they were going after them. And so she was, during this whole thing, right before the election, right, you know, like a month before the 2020 election, or that summer before, prior, whatever it was, there was this FBI sting. They found people who were trying to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer. Come to find out, the only fair trial that was done was the two guys who got off completely, who were acquitted because they were entrapped, because of entrapment. The other two guys, the first trial was hung. They had a second trial. They were found guilty, and it was partially because I don't think their lawyers were that good. It was a different jury altogether, of course, but it was a different, separate trial. And maybe those two guys were guilty. I don't know. But it seemed to me that the same evidence was presented, and the jury just went the other direction. And I think that was, in that case, it happened to be a judge has a lot of influence over a jury. The judge can educate the jury and direct, and there's terms that they use. It's because I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not a physician of any type. I'm not a I might be a doctor of democracy. I don't know. Maybe. Which is actually a republic. I know there's people that really get upset about that. It is a republic. It's a constitutional republic. And people get confused about this. I've even heard people who are supposedly constitutional, like they're like lawyers and stuff. And they'll say, well, it's actually, you know, it's kind of this combination of democracy and republic. No, it's a democratic process. We use a democratic process to elect representatives, because we have a constitutional republic, or actually constitutional representative republic. That's what we have. That's the definition of what we have. We use a democratic process to elect representatives who then uphold and defend our rights, our constitution, for the people, not for them, not for the bureaucrats. Not for the people who live their lives in the temple of democracy. We have the right to rule our own lives. In fact, but then we also have the responsibility of that, of how we do that. We're held accountable by how we do that. Justice should be blind in that respect. Nobody gets special rights. Anyway. The interesting thing about this is, you know, as Kamala was answering this question, she made this statement, and now we have, well, you are enemies within. So Gretchen Whitmer gets this threat, supposedly, of being kidnapped. This somehow turned public opinion, because people want to defend someone who's under attack like that. They see them as, well, they're threatening to attack her. We can't defend. We have to be on the side of, I don't want to be on the side of the kidnappers. So I have to take a side here, and I'm going to take her side. I was mentioning some things about her policies and all the things she had done, the actual crimes she committed. And one of the crimes she committed was with her and her AG, state attorney general. They changed voting laws. They changed voting laws in the state of Michigan illegally, according to their constitution, Michigan constitution. Well, because it was a pandemic. It was a pandemic. We have to change it. We had to take emergency actions. It was an emergency. We had to take extreme measures. All of a sudden, they become dictators. All of a sudden, they become the authority. They become the. Yeah, that's what happens here. The real person comes out. That's what it amounts to. All of a sudden, they turn into this dictator, because that's really what they are. All of a sudden, it becomes very obvious. Their true nature comes out. As they say that, what is it? If they say, but when the pressure gets something about it squeezes out the real character. But I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting stuff. So I don't know. It's this issue of at what point will they stop? What they want to do is they want to vilify the radicals on the right, those radical MAGA people, those ultra MAGA. It's the ultra MAGA folks. They're the crazy ones. They're the criminals. So people try to disassociate themselves from those people. They're trying to get to the point where Trump is the criminal. And if you associate with him or if you're for him, you're one of the criminals. This is their plan. The vilification of Trump. And by default, by association, you are also now the villain as well. To the point that you're a criminal. You're a threat to democracy. Well, no, I believe in the Constitution. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that wacko over there that is trying to tear apart democracy. I better disassociate myself from the. No, I'm not a part of. Look at what happened. This is a common thread. This is common psychology 101, and they know they're playing the game here. Peter, let's just bring it up. And I'm not equating Donald Trump to Jesus Christ. Believe me, that's not what this is, but I'm just talking about the nature of people in general. Peter, the apostle, the Pope of the Catholic Church. Is standing out by a fire. Because his master, the one he followed, the one he believed was the Messiah. In fact, he told him, I will never deny you. Standing out there by the fire, and of course, all of a sudden, people started ganging up on him. And people are out there talking about how bad this Jesus of Nazareth was. And all of a sudden he finds himself in the minority. And they start saying, I think I saw you with him. Of course he becomes scared because they have vilified him and his followers. He gives into the pressure. He starts to deny. No, that wasn't me. No, uh-uh. No, I wasn't one of them. No. And the rooster crows. And somehow, through the portico, he sees Jesus at that moment. And he realizes what he's done. Because, folks, that's the nature that we have. We give in to peer pressure. We go along with the crowd because for most people. And there are those who go anti. They go anti-crowd. But they do it with another crowd. Look at the trends that have happened throughout the ages. I've been around many years. I've seen kids. When I was in high school, there were the preppies. And then there were those who had long hair. There was always that group that went against the social norm, the socially acceptable. The crowd that was, this is what the trend is now. This is what people are wearing. This is the fashion. And there were those who just went against that. But you know what? They didn't go against it by themselves. They went against it with other people because they went with another group. They were the minority. They were the anti-preppies. And then there were those other people who just went along with whatever. They just wore whatever. But, it was kind of more, okay, they weren't the super preppy, but they were kind of doing whatever. But they didn't, but all it would take was someone to vilify the anti-preppy people, which typically happened. People who had long hair or whatever, they vilified those people. And then, of course, nobody wants to associate with them. I'm not one of those. Peer pressure, just like in high school. And of course, it really works on the leftists. The leftists have a tendency to be more emotionally motivated. And those on the right have a tendency to be more intellectually motivated. I know that they will scream at that because all the intellectuals are. They're the ones who are they're the professors in the colleges. Oh, we're the intellectuals. We're the ones who use our minds. No, you're not. That's the big deception. It's called self-deception. Self-deception is an incredible thing. People don't realize, of course, that's why it's called self-deception. And it gets back to this whole, I've talked about this before. There's a verse in James that talks about a man looking in a mirror and then walking away, seeing how messed up he is and how disheveled and his hair's all screwed up and it looks terrible. And he walks away and he forgets that he just looked in the mirror and how bad he looks. What it actually looks like. We have a tendency to deceive ourselves, to ignore, basically, to forget, conveniently forget, selective memories, what I call it, what we are actually like. Now, you can go down a road of self-awareness, self-discovery, and there's this whole thing out there within psychology where you can convince yourself. You tell yourself every day, you look in the mirror and you tell yourself how wonderful you are. I'm lovable and capable. I am, you say all this stuff to yourself. And that's all well and good. The problem is you can lie to yourself. That's an attempt to convince yourself otherwise of how you are without making any changes. It's like an alcoholic looking in the mirror and saying, I'm not an alcoholic. And you just say that enough times and you'll all of a sudden you won't be one. No, it doesn't work that way. The whole point of a 12-step program is that the very first step is admitting that you have a problem. So we have to have this point of self-discovery, this honesty with ourselves, and that's really what it amounts to. The first point that you come to is that you have to be honest with yourself. And you have to hold yourself up to a standard that is pure and holy and righteous. And then you realize how unpure, unholy, and unrighteous you are. And the further you go into that self-discovery, the more you realize the depth of your depravity. How selfish you are. And it's in the realization of that that you can become extremely depressed, extremely downtrodden. And if you have no hope outside of yourself, it can become very dangerous. Now, the beauty of this whole thing is that we do have hope. We do have a Savior. One who's taken all of our guilt and shame and selfishness upon himself and took the punishment for us. All we have to do is believe that and trust in him for that. So once you realize the depth and depravity of your sin and your selfishness and your unrighteous unholiness, you realize the depth of his love and sacrifice that he made for you. Or at least you can get a glimpse of it. I don't think we will ever. I think that all of eternity we'll be discovering just how deep. It'll be an eternal revelation. There'll be no end to the revelation of his love for us. Well, it's got to end at some point. No, it's not going to end. That's the amazing thing about it. Never-ending revelation. But I digress. The point that we're at right now, and what the thing I really want to point out today, is the seriousness of the accusations that are happening on the left right now about the right. Those on the right, the MAGA crowd. There's some pundits on the right now that are finally waking up to the fact that yes, they're declaring war. They're trying to get us into a civil war. They would like to see it happen because right now they have the wheels of power. They wield the power, and if they can get the right to rise up and cause problems, they know that it will be acceptable for them to clamp down. And when I say clamp down, we're talking martial law. We're talking the military on the streets, the National Guard coming in. I've been told by some people, oh well, there's some people in the military, some people in the National Guard, that they're not gonna do this. They're gonna choose sides. Folks, it is really difficult when you have a young person who believes in following orders. Again, it comes back to this whole peer pressure thing. All it's gonna take is for one of their buddies, one of their family members, to be killed, and all of a sudden you know whose side they're gonna be on. There were people during the first Civil War, because of the battle lines that were drawn, you had cousins fighting against each other, sometimes in some cases brothers fighting against each other, because they were obeying orders. This stuff happens. And I believe that we are headed for some very tumultuous times here, because if they realize that then of course they have to make, getting back to this poll, they have to make this threats to democracy. This is what people are really concerned about. Their biggest issue right now isn't paying their bills, isn't putting gas in their tank, it isn't buying groceries for their family, it isn't having a job. Biggest threat right now is threat to our democracy. Well, define that. I think it was Tucker Carlson last night, actually was talking about, you know, he keeps saying that there's this threat to our democracy. Well, define what you mean by that. And of course, he's not. Because it's a good statement. It rings with the, you know, it has all the political stuff that all their little focus groups that they put into that. It polls well. Nancy Pelosi's been pretty quiet lately. She's trying to stay out of the spotlight because, of course, she's had a lot of personal problems with her husband and all that stuff that's going on there. Be be very aware right now of everything that you're seeing on the political scene, because again, it comes back to the political theater and the optics of everything that they're trying to promote. Be very clear when you start to see things spoken by pundits on the media, especially those on the left, who have an agenda, who have this strange bent that they think that their views are so self-important, self-aggrandized, they call it. And those who are in power think that they need to be there because they're that thin line that's standing between democracy and a lost country. Now, I don't know what you think about Tulsi Gabbard. She's been all over Fox News lately. She's being interviewed by everybody. She's kind of that person, that sensible voice on the left. She's a leftist. Don't kid yourself. She comes from Hawaii. Here's some questions I always ask. Sometimes I'll look at someone's life and nobody asks the question and everybody's kind of wondering what's going on in it. Okay, Hawaii is known as an area where there's a larger number of, let's just say, alternative lifestyles there than there are in California, Southern California, or San Francisco, which you know. There's a large number of people. They're very liberal there, let's just put it that way. And they have a very socialist mentality. Now, having said that, that's where Tulsi Gabbard is from, which she was. It's where she was a representative. She also served in the military, which she does have a certain amount of temperance. Now, I don't know. Of course, now she was vilified by people on the left. Hillary Clinton came out and attacked her, called her a Russian operative. That would be enough for me to change my mind completely from the Democrat Party. I would never want to be received back by them again. I'd be done. So the head of your party is calling me a Russian operative, and here I was defending my country, laying my life down to defend the country, willing to lay my life down, and you're going to call me a Russian operative. The nerve. I would disavow the Democrat Party from that point on. And maybe that's what she's done. I don't know. But I know that she's not a Republican and she's not on the right and she was not a Trump supporter. She didn't vote for Donald Trump. However, she's making statements that are definitely, at least the statements she's making, I don't know how genuine she feels about them. She's definitely making statements that make sense with regard to sensibility and discussion and not having some kind of just rabid discourse and ridiculous lying statements. She seems to be very concerned about the statements that the rhetoric that's coming out of the mouth of people like Joe Biden and stuff right now. You know, the statements that he's making, it's strange that he's coming out on the warpath right now. Of course, it's all a part of, you know, why is he going out and making speeches like this and saying what he's saying? Well, it's all about the midterms. You can't change that. I mean, that's just a part of the political machine. He's out there spending money on our dollar, traveling around making speeches condemning us. Now, there was a guy here yesterday, locally. Usually, Casey Hendrickson is on our local news here in the afternoon, right after Dan Bongino. And yesterday he was out for some reason. So there's this other sister station down in Fort Wayne that has a guy by the name of Pat. Can't think of his last name. Oh, sorry, Pat. Can't think of your last name right now. And he's an older guy. He was down in Fort Wayne, and they will plug his show into the airtime up here. So you're actually listening to a Fort Wayne show, and you can call in. You can still call in. It's all live. And he was talking about the fact that the Republicans could blow this red wave that's supposed to happen. They could blow it, and they definitely can. And here's the reason. And he was hitting it right on point. The Republicans can't just assume they're going to win based on the fact that they're not Democrats. They've got to do something. They've got to run on something. People want to vote for something, especially in the midterms. They're not just going to come out and vote against the Democrats. They're going to come out. You need to have something to run for, to vote for. You need to have a platform. You need to have some planks. Here's what we're going to do. This is what we're going to base our campaign on. We're not just going to run on the fact that we're not Democrats or that the Democrats have ruined the economy. What are you going to do to fix it? What are your promises? What is your, quote, contract with America here? That's what they need to do. They need to come out with this contract for America, with America. Call it Contract with America 2, or whatever you want to call it. They need to do something to motivate voters. If they can accomplish that, if they can come together, the problem is the Republicans are a bit divided right now. Because you've got the Mitch McConnells and the Kevin McCarthys, who are establishment to the core. And then you have the MAGA Republicans who actually want to see real reform, real changes. They want to see real constitutional republic government, which is actually our democracy, not their democracy. And they don't get along very well. But they've got to come together on some things and get some things established. If they can do that, they might very well take over the House and the Senate. But right now, the campaign looks like the road they're going down is to vilify anybody from the MAGA crowd to the point where they're not even going to come out and vote. See, first of all, their first, this was a two-pronged, and maybe it's a three-pronged, there's probably more prongs to this thing. The first effort that they had was to put in as many, the Democrat Party was actually putting in money, donating money to MAGA Republicans in the primaries, they wanted to get the most radical right-wing people they could put in there, especially MAGA people, Trump supporters, Trump-endorsed individuals, into office, into the campaign, for the general election. They wanted them there. This is their strategy. They wanted to put them in place, and then they would turn around and vilify them and associate them with the criminal Trump, this monster Trump, this MAGA crowd, this January 6th insurrectionists and terrorists, worse than Al-Qaeda, worse than the 9/11 bombers. They're worse than that. And that way you wouldn't associate with them and you wouldn't vote for them or you wouldn't come out to vote. That's really what they're trying to do. They're not necessarily trying to win your vote right now. They're just trying to keep you from voting. Well, I'm not going to vote for that guy. I'm not going to vote at all. They really don't want you showing up at the polls. They want to destroy your motivation to get out there and vote against them. Well, because I know I'm going to end up with this MAGA, criminal guy. He's a terrorist. He wants to wave his flag and say that they want to make America great again. Can't have that. That's their strategy, folks. It's pretty sad, but they're willing to do anything, and that's all they have left. Of course, now we're being warned again by the administration, no less. Gas prices are going to spike again. They're trying to get that out. They're trying to get a soft landing on that one. They don't want just gas prices to start going up without anybody announcing. They want you to know that they're aware the gas prices are going to go back up again. Every spring and every fall, this is something that not many people really understand or know. Every spring and every fall, gas companies are required to, they have what they call a summer blend and a winter blend. They're supposed to change some of the additives that they put in the fuels because of the winter burning and the you know, cars burn fuel differently when the air is cold than they do when the air is warm. So they change the blends in some of the, not all of the refineries have to do this, but most of the refineries in the country have to do this. So they have to change the blend a little bit. Well, in the process of doing that, they have to meet certain criteria and they have only certain windows to get this stuff done. During that time, there's a bump, there's a caboose effect in terms of fuel prices. Now, the other caboose effect that happens is when you have inflation. Inflation will come in like a wave and then it will subside for a moment and then it comes in again. If you go to the beach and you watch the tide coming in, you know, waves will kind of press up and they'll kind of come up to a certain point and then go out. Waves kind of, some more waves splash in. And then the next wave, like the next big round of waves comes in and it goes a little higher. And it kind of comes back, but it never recedes back quite as far because the tide is coming in. Then it comes in again. The waves kind of do this thing with the wave rhythm. And as the tide goes back out again, it does the same thing. You know, the waves kind of come back and forth. It doesn't stay just linear. It doesn't stay linear. And you have to recognize that. Well, they know that. So they know that the tide is coming in on inflation. And they were, you know, kind of hoping that this wave would kind of, because they tried to do everything they could to kind of postpone. They threw all the, you know, reserves and everything else they could at it. Well, now they don't have any reserves anymore. And you've got this blend changing thing that happens in the wintertime that always causes prices to go back up a little bit more because if they have to add things to the fuel for wintertime burn, and it's going to cause the fuel prices to go up. In the process of all of that, they're trying to get out ahead of it. And of course, they've got excuses. It's going to be the Putin. It's going to be the Putin's war. It's going to be this and whatever it is. They're blaming all this stuff again. And of course, prices will go up again because gas prices go up. Prices for everything goes up because guess what? Everything that shows up in your store shows up via truck. And in order to truck it there, they have to pay for fuel for the truck. And guess what? And all petroleum products, for that matter, for your rubber tires, all that kind of stuff is made from oil and products, byproducts from oil. So yes, it's all going to happen again. And it's going to spike again. It's going to spike higher than it was the last time, probably. They're hoping it doesn't happen until after November. They really would like for it to happen after November, if there's a red wave, because that way you can blame it on the Republicans. Well, see now what's happened. See, the Republicans are, they're not even in office yet, but they'll start blaming the Republicans for it. In fact, they will do everything they can in November to set up the economy in such a way that it will be very difficult for the Republicans to, they're going to try to make it look like this happens. They've done this before because they don't care about the American people. They just want to make the Republicans look bad. They'll destroy the country to make the Republicans look bad so that they can stay in power. These people have a death grip, and then you're the one who will die. It's actually a death grip around your throat. They have to stay in power because, well, obviously, look at the words they're saying. If we lose our election, we lose our democracy. This is a threat to our democracy. And if we lose, our democracy's done. You know, I recently had a friend of mine that said, it just seems like the Republicans always just want to fearmonger. They just always have, it's all about, their campaign's all about fear. Really? Apparently, you're not paying attention. If the Republicans win, it's a threat to our democracy. That's not fear-mongering? It's pretty... Donald Trump is an existential threat to the world. Really, he got us into all kinds of wars, didn't he? Yeah. He's a violent man. Now, he's a violent man. Look at what he did. He, when all those riots that were breaking out all over the country in 2020, how he came out and cracked down on everything with the military. He's a violent man. He offered the military. The states, the blue states that were allowing all this stuff to happen, turned him down. On January 6th, he literally authorized thousands, tens of thousands of National Guard troops to guard the Capitol. They turned him down. This is verified, folks. This is on paper, by the way. Probably some of the paperwork that they took from his house. Wasn't just a beach house. From a beach resort. He's hiding top secret documents in a beach resort. Not exactly, folks. I would defy any one of you stupid reporters who say that, who make that statement, to go down there and just walk in there and get into that room like as if it's just sitting on a beach someplace and sitting on a blanket under an umbrella. Just go ahead and walk down there. See how many documents you can walk out with. Stupid, ridiculous stuff. And that's, and there again, they took all of his personal documents. Well, but I saw some reports like Lawrence O'Donnell, some of these people, they're saying things like, well, you know, those documents belong to the people. Those are the people's documents. Oh, really? That's not the way the court saw it when Bill Clinton was under the gun. The documents left in his sock drawer, things that he was hiding. You didn't have a problem with that. That gets into the weeds. I'm not going to go there. I'm a little over an hour, and I've already been ranting here too long. And it's only Tuesday, so you can imagine what this is going to be like. I've got a little trip I got to take today. Today, tomorrow, Thursday. Should be normal shows today, tomorrow, Thursday. Possibly a show on Friday. But it may be a little bit difficult. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work out. I got to travel again on Friday, and I'm not sure what time I have to leave. So it could be a really weird day. What I might have to do is record it the night before. I've never done that before. I record the night before and then post it the next day. But that might be what has to happen. I'm not exactly sure. We'll just see how that goes. In the meantime, I would like to invite you to subscribe if you haven't subscribed to this show. I appreciate you listening this long. Also appreciate you sharing this and downloading it and sharing it with your friends. I haven't looked at the numbers lately. Wonder what they're doing internationally. We've had people all over the world have heard the show. It's been kind of interesting. Once again, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing, for putting up with me. I would invite you to pray for our nation, pray for our leaders. Pray for this election coming up. Mostly pray for the truth to be known and exposed. That the lies will be exposed. That the truth will expose the lies. I think that we will be saved as a nation. God bless everybody. Have a great day.